Today we are talking about dating. I am speaking with Shel Goldman. He's a psychotherapist, transpersonal hypnotherapist, and a nationally certified trainer in that field. He's also a life and business coach, does a lot of couples counseling and men's work. And he's also a senior facilitator of gender reconciliation with the Satyana Institute based in Washington State. Welcome to the show, Shel.
Good morning, Sally. How are you?
I'm good today. I'm interested in your topic here of all of the specialties that you have here. We are going to be talking about a relatively new workshop that you put on this summer on dating. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah. Back in May. Over the years, I don't know about you, but I've been hearing people just kind of complain about dating and how hard it is and what a drag it is and what an effort and on and on and on. And I think I just had enough and said, wait a minute. Dating should be fun. Dating should be a chance to get to know people, get a chance to meet new people, and at the least, you make new friends, expand your community. So I decided to do a workshop, and the workshop was generally based off of a book called Conscious Dating by David Steele, and he's a dating coach and a relationship coach, and he wrote this great book, and I thought, hey, I'm going to bring this to my community, because I'm really tired of hearing men and women whine about dating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so conscious dating, is that opposed to unconscious? Do people make a lot of jokes around that?
No, you could. It's about making better choices, and first it's really about knowing, it. Really when you look at conscious dating in a whole, it's really about learning more about you and where you're coming from. People put more energy and attention into their work, into their play activities, hell, into their car, than they do about dating or about thinking clearly about partnership. Even if they just want to be a recreational dater, they really don't go about it very consciously. So really this is about helping to make better choices, because I read somewhere that 90% of our joy and happiness comes from our relationships. And if we're not putting any energy, any effort, any focus into making better relationships, then a lot of suffering ensues.
And there are all of these studies as well of people with relationships. I mean, not only romantic, but, you know, married couples live longer or happier. Your relationships with friends keep you healthier, et cetera. So.
Well, the latest studies, you know, it's sort of science and psychotherapy have kind of come to this concept of neurobiological understanding that we are designed for partnership, that we're really not designed to sit alone on a cushion in a cave somewhere. We are relational beings, and we've been very, very and deeply relational for eons of time. So why not make that a focus, like to become literate in relationship? So this helps people to do that and to create better attachments, better connections in our world.
Well, you know, like you, I've heard a lot of complaints from both men and women about the dating scene here in Santa Fe, and women saying they're all kind of baby men, and men saying all the women are traumatized. And what were some of these issues that came up in your workshop, and how did people grapple with them?
Well, I'm glad you're asking that. We can focus here on Santa Fe. Really, the epidemic is all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is. But Santa Fe is kind of classic, and it's true. Both genders seem to have their complaints. Remember, too, we're a small town. And so for a lot of people, really where we focused was that there were a lot of challenges or what we called traps. You know? And these traps were limiting people's abilities to actually make connection. So maybe I can talk a little bit about, some of these traps. So one is this whole... the laundry list trap, he or she has to do this,
right,
and she's got to be able to do that and that, and the list is so long that, hey, good luck on that. You know, it's impossible. What I find is that as a therapist, what I find is a lot of times people are looking to relationship to fill things within themselves that they have not done. And so the list is really long, and there's a lot of incomplete or empty areas in this person's life, and they're hoping that the relationship is going to fulfill it. So their list is really long. That's a real trap, and that keeps people from really just making connections and relating. As we talk more, relating is going to be a concept that arised out of this workshop. So another trap, for instance, is the classic date to mate trap. This is where people, date solely with the focus of locating the mate. So are you the mate? Are you the mate? Are you the one? Are you the soulmate? Are you going to be my partner for life? And what happens there is quickly, based on a bunch of other traps, they're eliminated immediately before that person even has a chance to know them. And I don't know about you, but it takes time. It takes time to know somebody.
Absolutely.
And everybody's in a rush to find that perfect person, and they're not willing. This is also what we noticed from that first workshop. People are not willing to give it time, and then they realize, wow, I have nothing to show, because it's really quick. The other piece, another trap that's pretty popular is because we do a lot of online, searching.
Yeah, I think increasingly, right?
Oh,
people find
much.
Their mates online
very,
for online dating.
Very much. The problem there is very instantaneous. Click, click, click. You can look through a bunch of pictures and look through a bunch of profiles. And people think that's dating. People think that's dating. I did dating and I didn't find anybody. Dating back to relating. And what happens here is we've lost this art of relating. We've lost this art of conversation. We've lost this art of sharing. We've lost this art of having shared experiences. Spending time with someone to really get to know them. And that's a real trap. Let's see if I can talk about a few others. The compatibility trap. Many people believe early on in dating that, hey, I'm having a lot of fun, we have a lot in common, and then, this person's good for me. And that is sometimes true, but short-term fun and long-term compatibility are not the same. And so to have fun with somebody is one thing. To be able to craft a life or a lifestyle and to be able to partner with them is a whole other thing. Yeah.
Now, I've had a lot of people, when you talk about also this laundry list and partnering and this, it is important to be clear, right?
Absolutely.
About what you want and what you'd like and if it is short-term or long-term.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, isn't there a place for people to really be thinking clearly about that, but just not to limit themselves, right? Is this what you're saying?
Well, absolutely. But trust me, if folks are doing their own work, then their list, so to speak, isn't that long. The things that they're looking for are internal qualities. Someone that is warm, someone that is affectionate, and knows how to communicate emotionally.
That's a big one.
Yeah, someone who understands how to be in a dialogue where there's back and forth flow. Someone who has a development within themselves. Oftentimes I hear, my first date, he was kind of nice, but within about an hour he was on his cell phone, or she was doing something else, and it's just the inability to be able to be present enough within yourself to be present with another.
Absolutely.
So the qualities that we're looking for ultimately at the end of the workshop, they were very similar between the men and the women. There weren't this long laundry list. We really came up with more meaningful and deeper issues that what people really were looking for. And that was really lovely to see. It was really great.
And tell us how you kind of came around to that. Is this more a discussion group where people really talked about a lot of these tasks? Because I know you're going to have another workshop, and there may be many people who are interested
absolutely.
In taking it.
Absolutely. Well, actually, when we first started doing a sort of an exercise, we formed a circle, and I asked some questions, and I asked people to stand if they have ever, and then I asked the questions.
There
so
we go.
I'll ask a few of the questions, and you'll get a sense. Please stand if you've ever tried to change your appearance to please a partner. Everybody stood. Please stand if you've ever felt your needs came second to a partner's needs. You
everybody
can imagine.
Stands, right.
Please stand if you've ever not brought up concerns or problems for fear of conflict or pain. Wow, everybody stands. Please stand if you've lost yourself in a love relationship. Please stand if you've ever violated your own boundaries or requirements in hopes to be loved. And so these were some of the questions, and by the time we went through the questions, people were looking at each other going, oh my gosh, we've been standing for a lot of this stuff. Why? And that got us heading down in the right direction. People realized, wow, I'm not honoring what is true for me, and I'm sort of adapting myself constantly in relationship. And they realized I'm doing it right from the beginning.
Right.
I'm starting off in that way. So that's where we started, and that really got things going, and it was really, really fun. And then we reviewed these dating traps that we talked about. And, you know, a big part of it is getting a sense of a vision of your image of your desired outcome, getting a real sense of it. And that sort of internal image acts as an inner guidance system, leading you towards certain choices that are in your highest and best and away from things that are not. And I guess a big part of this was everybody learned that, you know, I didn't really trust my vision. I let it crumble away, or oh, I let that go, or oh, you know, he's been late 3 times, but I'm sure he just had a bad day, or you know, she talked about her ex through the whole thing, but you know, it wasn't that bad, you know. And instead of just going, you know, this isn't for me, and being willing to let go of something, one of the big traps that came up, the scarcity trap. There's not enough people for me, so I have to jump on what shows up. And we do that. We just, oh, okay, that person is going to be good enough. Another trap is, I'll make her or him the kind of person I'm really looking for. It'll just be a little time. I can shape this person.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
Right, yeah, yeah. So that got us going, and we really dove in. People were very involved and shared deeply, because I think this is something that's really pertinent to our lives right now. We spend a lot of time doing lots of other things and not enough time here, and yet this is where we want to receive most of our enjoyment, our pleasure, coming from our relationships.
And now you're saying this is a human condition, and of course it is, and certainly as more technology invades our life, we have lost the ability to relate. But is there something about Santa Fe that is very specific that makes dating here unique? I mean, besides the small size, which is obvious.
Well, I don't want to act as the Santa Fe. I'm not the Santa Fe dating expert.
Wait
here.
A minute. That's why we had you here.
Well,
hey, no, I'm
well,
kidding.
Not for Santa Fe per se, but I think Santa Fe has a little bit of a challenge, and that one is that it doesn't have a large working class population, a middle class population, because there's not a lot of corporations or industries that offer good pay and benefits and things like that. It doesn't attract a large middle class. What happens there is those of us that are the representing middle class, so to speak, here in town, there aren't a lot of us, and so there isn't a lot to choose from. For younger people, let's say under 40, 20 to 40, this isn't a university town. This isn't, you know, so it doesn't attract a youth population either. People come and then they find, you know, I'm just not getting enough people like me, and so they move. Sadly, Santa Fe is their average age is rising, the median age, and it's becoming an older town. I don't remember that when I first came here way back
in
the 70s.
Yeah, and I was raised here. I don't remember that either, but it definitely feels like people are being pushed out. They simply can't afford to live here.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, but I think that fits into some of the reasons why. But, you know, we began to focus, as we got more into it, some concepts that were important to remember in dating. And, you know, we started with know who you are and what you want, you know. And one of the two big decisions that people had to look at was, am I really ready for a committed dating, you know, to find a committed partner? Or might it be okay just to be a recreational dater, to date different people, get to know different people, have different shared experiences, and then maybe see what arises from that. And a lot of people realize that at different times in their life, they really weren't, they wanted to date, but they also felt a bit of shame about recreational dating, you know, that they should be getting on with it. And a lot of people don't have the time, they don't have the energy, it's not a certain place in their life where finding a committed partner is top on their list. And so, you know, we looked at recreational dating and as a real possibility. And that was important. That gave people a breath of like, oh, I can do this. You know, it's okay. The other thing that people really felt that they couldn't do was that they couldn't date more than one person. And I found that really interesting. And I'm not talking per se, and again, we've talked about how deeply to get involved, i.e. bringing sex into the equation, having sex with multiple partners. We briefly talked about polyamory, which is the act of...
Oh, my.
Yeah, well, it came up. And, you know, well, how will I do this? And I said, well, you know, if you can leave the romantic sexual part of it out and just enjoy this person's company and get to know them, then... you're not moving in, you're not planning for the future, you're just enjoying this person. And that sort of freed people up to realize that, wow, I dating could, it's like a buffet. There's lots of different people I could date.
But in a really good way,
in
right?
In a good way, in a fun way. And I really wanted to support bringing fun back into the equation.
I'm speaking with psychotherapist Shel Goldman about dating. And I think bringing fun back into it is such an important thing, because being able to meet people, you know, as a journalist, I get to speak to so many people, and I always say everyone has a story. And from a work perspective, it's just been so great. And I suspect similar things come up in dating. You get to meet people who maybe you wouldn't otherwise, who you meet in random areas, and you get to learn everybody's story. So this is part of the relating.
Right, and if you're interested, the problem is we seem to get so wrapped up in all of this other busy life that, I mean, think about it. There are speed dating nights.
Yes.
Okay, so, okay, you've had your 3 minutes. That's not what this is about. You cannot really relate and drop down and deepen into getting to know someone in 3 minutes.
And
or
yet you
online.
Might be able to decide if you want to spend another evening, right? I mean, isn't there something to be said for that?
Well, it's sort of in 3 minutes you get a hit, you know,
yeah.
And then you can go from there. But what we're really talking about here is coming away from these sort of quick... It's almost like our relating life has joined forces with the rest of our life, and it's become very hectic, fast, and click, click, and fast, fast. And I'm basically saying, slow it down. Really slow it down and be willing to give time to relate to a person or a number of people at different times. I like what you said, to get to know their story, to understand them, and to be understood yourself. This is something we're finding neurobiologically that really feels good when we're heard, understood, eye-to-eye contact. These things sound so simple, but we are losing this art form. And so the moving from relating, because relating is sort of you're in a relationship or you're not. You're having one or you're not. It's good or it's bad. Relating goes on all the time.
Right.
So those people that are, quote, singles, who feel bad about being a single, they're forgetting that they can be relating and relating deeply to people and having enjoyable experiences and not be, oh, I'm not in a relationship. I feel bad. I feel less than. And this is also, the singles shame is a big deal. But when you focus on relating, there's no shame. Everybody is having great relations through the desire to relate and to get to know.
And so, you had mentioned about the singles pride, too. I mean, really enjoy that
space. Well,
that's
what I wanted to really bolster, that there's a lot of joy to this dating journey and being single and enjoying your life as a single person. I mean, you get to craft your week, your life, in any way you like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's something really rich about it. It's really funny. The statistics here in the country are really interesting. There's 101 million singles in the United States. That's 46% of the adult population. 25% of all households have single occupants, you know, just for some facts and figures. And yet marriage rate is at its lowest in 30 years. And we already know about the divorce rate. So what we're looking at is changing the platform that people move towards relationship from. Really inviting people to enjoy this part of their life. Go ahead.
Well, and technology coming in, and we've brought it up a couple times. I mean, in one sense, it facilitates because people don't really know where to go to meet anyone anymore. And yet it also has destroyed this kind of face-to-face contact. And I know I've been out with people who are checking their phone a lot, and I have wanted to get up and leave. Yeah. And I think, well, wait a minute, this is part of our culture now. How do we navigate these two worlds of really trying to have a human conversation and acknowledging that this is part of it?
Well, it's a really good question. I think all the online technology, the dating sites and services, are helpful. I really do. But only to find a prospective person to then make dates with. Much after an email or a couple back and forth, and you have a sense that this is someone you'd like to meet, then set up a meeting time in a public place, daylight hours, for the proverbial cup of tea or coffee, and be willing to give an hour or more to that first connection, and start there. Only use the online piece as just a connecting point. Just, oh, okay, here, I've located. But really, this FaceTime is really important. This is where you learn a lot of information about somebody. Just the energetics of it alone,
absolutely,
of being in someone's company, is really a big deal. People spend a lot of time online on the dating aspect of it. They'll go on and on with emailing back and forth and winking and smiling and texting and all these things that go on through these dating services, which they provide these little things to keep you online
to do this.
That's how they do it.
I know. I always say, where do people get all of this time to do that?
Right. But the time being spent doing that could be spent actually dating, actually having real face time. And that's important. That's where real life occurs. So during dates, you know, my suggestion is put your technology away and be willing to give some real old-fashioned time, eye to eye, to the person you're wanting to get to know.
Yeah. And for listeners who've maybe tried online or live here in Santa Fe and who feel frustrated, what do you recommend they do for their first steps? Okay, you would like to date, you'd like to get out, what now?
Well, you know, one of the best things that we talked about is, is the different ways of going about dating, and part of it is sort of this hunting piece, and you are, just hunt in different places. You hunt in places that support what is familiar to you. So if I shop at Whole Foods, and gosh knows in Santa Fe, I have to say Whole Foods might be the place that tops the bill for meeting people, then go to Whole Foods. If I like yoga, go to yoga. If I have special interest groups that I'm a part of, if I'm a dancer, go to dance class. You're going to find people that you have things in common with through your special interest groups. If you follow a specific spiritual path, then go and look in those areas. Hunt and gather data and information from those areas. Sitting online is rather limited, and it isn't where real life is occurring.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, but real life is not occurring online. I know this is tough for the 20 to 30 population who lives online and is really becoming almost, shall I say, obsessed, addicted to being online.
Yeah.
I mean, the reports of taking folks in their 20s, taking their technology away from them, and the withdrawal effect is amazing. So this is a throwback. This conscious dating workshop is a bit of a throwback to getting people to connect with themselves and what is important to them first, and then going about it in a way that is really about making real connection through shared experiences, and as you said, the old-fashioned art of enjoying relating, hearing someone's story, getting to understand, and realizing, wow, we really do have things in common. And that's important.
So when will you be doing another workshop, and how can people get some information on this?
Wonderful. Well, the first workshop was back in May, and it went really well to the point where folks wanted to have a follow-up, and that was really nice. So we're going to do the second conscious dating workshop here in Santa Fe, Saturday, October 5th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's going to be at 546 Harkle, La Puerta Luna. It's a lovely workshop space. I do all my workshops there. I also do workshops on the alchemy of relating, which is a more relationship, people in relationship. I've done workshops on mindfulness, things of that matter. You know, being present is a big part of conscious dating.
Well, and it's a part of life, but that is definitely
You don't want to separate it from that.
And they can contact you at shellgoldman@gmail.com.
Best way to reach out right now. Workshop, the website is under construction, and hopefully by the next time we might chat, I hope, it'll be up and running. But, yeah, the best is shellgoldman, two L's in shell, at gmail.com. Yeah.
And before we go, I really do want to touch a little bit on the idea of gender reconciliation, which I assume also is part of this. I mean, it's all the way that men and women relate, right?
You can't separate it. You really can't. I'm a senior facilitator for the Satyana Institute, and Will Keepin and Cynthia Brix created this concept of gender reconciliation. It is really big in South Africa and Cape Town, where there are overt ways where gender trauma and abuse and disharmony is occurring. In India, they have done the work in Russia. It's basically in about six different countries, and it's finally, after 20 years, starting to happen here. Matter of fact, this Friday I head off to Raleigh-Durham to do a three-day gender workshop. And there's an upcoming gender workshop. Well, I'll talk more about that in a second, but I'd like to direct people to www.grworld.org as a place to learn more about gender reconciliation. But basically, it is the healing between men and women. Based on the heavy-handedness of the patriarchal system that we live in and have been living in for years, there has been a lot of trauma and suffering that's ensued. It's not just men abusing women. Men have grown up in a box led by patriarchy that limits their abilities to be a full man. And the pain and suffering that has created, sorry to say, has created a lot of acting out in our world. So this is a chance where men and women sit in council and really share deeply in a safely built environment over 3 days, where we look at the value is placed equally both on the feminine and masculine perspectives, even though we understand there are intrinsic differences between the sexes and they are honored and appreciated. We open to the fact that there, in order for healing to occur, a spiritual foundation is essential, not a religious foundation, but a spiritual foundation. Basically because the gender imbalance at its roots is more of a collective spiritual crisis, a breakdown in our own abilities to, quote, love one another. And that's important.
And you have men and women together here. I mean, is there acting out even within that room? I mean, it must be a very... intimate space
when
you're talking about
it. It's a very intimate space. It takes time to build a safe container first, and we find that's really essential because things leak out. And if you've noticed, it happens. Men and women are really capable of leaking their wounds as much as they try. Years ago, there was a brave person who decided to do a gender discussion one day, and about 50 people showed up. There was a huge amount of interest. This was about 10 years ago. And without setting any safety parameters, without setting any boundaries or containers, within about a half hour, that room was so volatile. I noticed my chair kept going farther back to the wall and back to the wall. So that's why it takes at least 3 days to create a safe container for us to go into deeper areas together and to have men and women witness each other's wounding so that we can understand what we've been through. It's been really powerful for me to understand how women have been wounded and how I've been more deeply wounded by the system that I live in.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, very much. So there's it's amazing work. A couple months ago, I did a three-day in Austin, Texas. Before that, there was one in Southern California. They're starting to happen now more and more in the country. And by the end of three simple days, men and women are glowing and turning toward each other with their hearts open. The healing that comes from these 3 days is... It's amazing. It's very touching. Just very, very touching. And I think these are little pebbles in the pond. You know, these little three-day events start to open up a channel of reconciliation and healing and transformation that I believe we need in this world, let alone in our country.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of this assumes that individuals have kind of done their own conscious work ahead of time, that they can recognize perhaps that they have wounds, or even if it just sparks their interest. But, and this goes the same for dating, right, that you have discussed what you, or you've really thought about. You've really thought about a lot of issues in your life, and you've gone into work where you know that you struggle. Or can somebody go into this kind of just just walk in without having done any work? I mean, what are the implications here?
One, anybody can walk in. Anybody can come to a gender reconciliation three-day workshop. But the thing is, not anybody is going to come.
Right, right.
When we talk about healing the wounds between men and women, it's not something people are dying to sign up for.
They say, oh, another Santa Fe, crazy.
Yeah. Well, there's that. And right. Just, that sounds heavy.
Yeah.
Yes, it's heavy. It is heavy. Our wounds that we've carried over these millennia is heavy. Yeah. And it gets passed on generation to generation. In this country, a lot of the trauma that happens is very more subtle, yet long-lasting. The way women are taught they should be, the way men are taught how they should be, is devastating. And it limits our full potential as humans, let alone just in our own gender. So, yeah, there is a connection. When you look at conscious dating, you really can't not look at gender reconciliation because... if I'm filled with anger or filled with unconscious material towards the other gender and yet I'm dating, that's going to come out. It's eventually going to find its way out.
And I'm sure that happens a lot.
It does.
And that is the disruption in so many.
It does. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So either one of these workshops might be helpful for a lot of people.
I feel so. I would love to see the Santa Fe community come out for conscious dating. And I would really, I hope I could come and spend more time talking about the gender work. It's profound. We just recently inaugurated a partnership with the Reverend Desmond Tutu Legacy Foundation in South Africa. Desmond Tutu feels that gender reconciliation work is the most profound start towards healing the wounds between the genders. And we're now in partnership with the university in South Africa, and their sister university is the University of Washington. So the desire here is to have gender reconciliation trainings being had for incoming freshmen on a university level.
That would be a great idea.
Would that
young
be incredible?
People, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I had some of that when I first went to college, and it blew my mind.
Yeah.
All of the messages I had been getting growing up that I wasn't aware of.
Right.
Well, Shell, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
With psychotherapist Shell Goldman. You can send him an email at shellgoldman@gmail.com. That's S-H-E-L-L goldman@gmail.com. And we have two workshops coming up. One on conscious dating.
That's going to be October 5th.
October 5th, and another on gender reconciliation in December. And yes, maybe we can bring you back to really expand on that and talk a lot about gender differences, because I think that is definitely the root of a lot of trouble that we have here in this country. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to be speaking with Rodney Ellis. He's the president of the North Carolina Association of Educators, and he'll be speaking about North Carolina's Moral Mondays. If anyone hasn't heard about it, it's an incredible new rise of civil disobedience and activism. Thank you so much, Shell.
It's been great being here. Thank you, Zaylee.